And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090. Pete Gray here, along with Corey Sandin. Ricky's down at Palmas de Cortez, and we'll be back next weekend. But we have great guests here. Captain Mike Pritchard from the Tribute is here, and what a great prize he's brought with us, too, today.
Right? Isn't that cool? I mean, a day-and-a-half trip for anybody that's calling in today at 213-432-1090. I give you the number, but the lines are full.
Yeah,
but that day and a half trip to be used before the end of June.
Yeah.
Couldn't ask for a better deal.
And you can get through anytime via the Let's Talk Hookup app, or just text the show, and we'll try and get to it. We've had a bunch of texts. We'll try and get to as many phone calls and texts during this hour, but a lot of fun having Mike here.
It is.
Totally. Just stepped off the boat this morning at 5:30 and came into our world headquarters here.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot going on at the landing today,
man. I saw the Royal Star pulling in.
Just pulled in, and the Shogun's unloading now, Royal Star.
Fisherman's Processing, Sean.
Who we heard from Bill over there. Yeah, Fisherman's Processing is back in gear now. Congratulations, Sean. We're going to hear from him later on in the show and about the new facility and all that's going on there. And anyway, interesting text here, which is the age-old question. Generally speaking, in your opinion, is the full moon or new moon more productive on a day and a half trip? That's from Tom in San Diego. Everybody always asks that question, so we have to just get it out.
It's like a loaded question for you,
and it's a good question. I'll let you know at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Because it can be yes or no, right?
I've seen, and you know, especially earlier on running charter boats, ran the International Star for years, the Cat Special at Coral Sea, and you have a lot of your charter groups say, oh, hang on, I need to look at the moon phase.
Yeah.
And I've seen fish bite every day for a month, regardless of moon phase. I've seen them not bite every day for a month, or months, unfortunately. I personally think it'll affect the time of day that fish seem to bite. I think you see more night bites and early morning bites. This is just my personal opinion. You see a lot more gray bites, early morning bites, and then it seems like you'll have a midday lull and they'll bite again late in the afternoon, just due to the fact that it seems like they're feeding at night. I mean, that's been my personal opinion on it, but I've also seen that completely get thrown out the window.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they bite all day. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. I had one of my crew members last night asking him, why is the current so bad? I know it's, lunar related, but as far as why at any given time. And what I always thought was funny, especially with sometimes it seems like everything's against you. You're going south and the current's going north at night. And then the next day on the way home, the current's going south.
Yeah.
And I think that fishing is like that too. I mean, you can try your best to predict, around moon phase. And I've seen it backfire as many times as I've seen it work.
But I think I think that's what kind of, when you love the ocean, that's what makes it entertaining. That's what makes it exciting. The variables that change and you trying to figure it out. You would love to have it perfectly lined up every time. But for you to be able to figure it out for the conditions given is the challenge at hand.
Oh, man. We're relating bluefin and sea bass. And I think it's funny, and I'll probably get some slack for this, but we had a passenger yesterday who said they made bluefin, white sea bass, and women all in the same day. I said, I'm staying out of that one. it keeps it interesting.
But here's the interesting twist on that. Okay, yesterday, day before, pretty slack tides, the week before the full moon, kind of off the moon, but still a lot of current. So how do you read? Current's related to the moon, but it's not the full moon. It's actually slack kind of everything.
And then you get the king tides. That's out of my price range.
Me too.
I can't answer that.
Can anybody answer that one? Yeah.
Well, it was just like the question earlier about the giant squid. I don't know where they are. I don't know why they're gone.
Yeah.
I hope they come back at one point or another. And, you know, it's just one of those things. It's out of the ocean. It's out of my pay grade.
Yeah. And the ocean's an amazing place, and that's why we love it so much, for sure. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into the phones.
Let's do it, Pete. Let's talk to Doug, our good friend from Montebello. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, Doug.
Morning, Doug.
Yes. I was wondering on a meter mark on a tuner right now, how long will you sit on it or decide to leave?
Man, you know, that all depends, too. We sat on the same school yesterday. Actually, it was several different schools that came through us. We had one drift for about 4.5 hours. And it's one of those things, especially with other boats around, you try to do your best to look and see what everybody else is doing. And when you're looking at 15 boats driving around for an hour and you're getting ready to leave and then you see a couple of fish marks swim under the boat, you know, we actually sat through and I think we probably had more bites midday-ish than most of the other boats did, which unfortunately we lost. But, man, if you don't get bit right away, a lot of skippers, and I do it too, or you get impatient and you want to leave. Especially with bluefin, sometimes you'll get that initial stop or they'll boil up really good and then you see nothing. And I don't know how many times, and this applies to every skipper I know. All of a sudden, okay, guys, let's go ahead and wind them on up. We're going to go look. And you put them in gear, you start driving, and then you drive right over the top of them. So sometimes it pays to sit them out. Being impatient with bluefin fishing and leaving a stop early usually backfires on you one way or another. And there's nothing worse than getting one shot. You have one shot in the morning to sit on a spot and get it to let it build up around you and maybe pick at those fish. You get impatient and leave, and then you don't stop the boat for the next 6 hours, and you watch the guys who sat it out sit there and start plunking away. I mean, it's one of the things that'll always tear at a skipper. I mean,
it's when do you go?
Yeah, is it time? You start hearing people on deck, well, this, you know, we should have left 10 minutes ago. We haven't got any bites. And then, you know, sometimes it gets to you. You put it in gear. You drive away. And then the guy that sat there for 2 hours plunks away 20 of them.
Yeah.
It's a hard one.
Yeah. And there's been so much, fortunately, there's been so much bluefin tuna around in the prime months that you were able to get on a lot of other schools, too. But the same situation, you get on a school, is it going to bite or not, right?
Some of that stuff, just inside of Cortez last year, there was so much bluefin around. And a lot of it was evening bite, you know, sinker fishing, flatfall fishing, stuff like that, yo-yo jigs. And you're looking at, you know, 25 boats all downswell of you, and everybody's stopping on fish. And then you have that one spot that you stop on, and it leaves blank screen, nothing on the meter. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, if we drift along here long enough, you're going to have to get more schools coming through. And sometimes that doesn't work either.
Yeah. Yeah. And they moved.
Yeah.
They swim.
It really depends on the type of fishing you're doing. If you're fishing albacore and you're getting, you know, a jig strike and a couple of bait fish, and that's just the way it is. You get your jig fish, your bait fish, you run up to the wheelhouse, put them in gear, and you get on to the next one. Sometimes it doesn't matter how long you sit.
Albacore schools are smaller schools than bluefin or yellowfin?
In general, yeah. I mean, we've seen some stupid days, 1,000 albacore fish days back when they were here. But in general, you don't, you know, a big school of albacore, I think when you see it on the machines, you're talking like 50 fish. You're looking at the bluefin, you're talking about thousands of fish.
Thousands of fish. Yeah.
Crazy.
Cool. All right, Doug, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Let's talk to Darren. Darren Cohn from Menifee. Thanks for joining us this morning, Darren.
I'm heading down to the Fisherman's Landing sale right now. So
great.
For Mike, what size flatfalls for a day and a half for the glow in the dark? And for Corey, are the calicos hitting the weedless yet? And what are your favorite current colors?
Go for it, Mike. What the size of flatfall?
You know what? I bring everything. Same kind of deal like we were talking about earlier. I first mentioned that my cook was the first one to get bit yesterday. And oddly enough, something old school that comes from Kenny Mochizuki, a guy up in Oxnard that's a great jig fisherman. A Chrome 6X Junior, which is a very small grade. I mean, you know, consider compared to a flatfall. Anything on up to, I don't know, what's the bigger flatfall now?
I don't know. I mean, they're pretty darn heavy. The larger flatfalls.
Yeah, I'm like 250 to 300.
I think
that's a big one.
So, and then something especially, and it got kind of comical here a couple of years ago, what some of the guys were doing with those giant flatfalls, the 300 gram. as far as adding numerous extra hooks to them, but they're getting bit. And if you're fishing, especially early in the morning like that, you're fishing heavy line, you know, the bigger the better. Especially if it's breezy, you can get that jig down quickly. They do sink great. They sink somehow just like a torpedo weight and still get bit. But you want to bring anything that you're going to fish from, say, 40 or 50 pound on up to 130 pound.
Yeah, and take a look at that new Sea Falcon, too. Those are pretty cool jigs, and they have a variety of shapes and sizes and the way that they fall and stuff like that.
Do they have a fisherman's yet?
I believe they do, yeah. Oh, okay. They were supposed to get them in. So.
Well, Darren's on his way down.
So you get your three-in-one hook set, and you can buy some jigs.
There you go. And how many hooks are the right amount of hooks?
Same thing on fishing, but I even before this trip, I just have extras for, you know, passengers on the boat.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but we do have passengers get on the boat without line or hooks.
Yeah,
it still blows me away every time. But
you have it on the boat.
You're going to want to bring at least like I'd say 15 to 20 of each hook size that you might be using.
All right.
If they're biting, tangles, and everything else, but you know, and it's. You know, how much time do you want to spend digging your hook out of a tangle or out of a fish? So sometimes cutting that baby off and moving on is your best bet. So, you know, don't overwhelm yourself, but bring lots.
There you go. All right. Thanks a lot for the phone.
And the weedless fishing was out twice this last week, Darren, and there was actually a good amount of bites to be had.
Okay.
I only had a handful of fish. I was using a larger weedless, and there was a lot of, like, 13 to 15-inch fish trying to inhale the 7-inch weedless.
You know?
And using baitfish colors.
It's happening.
Yeah. Well, it's happening, but it's, you know, if I was using the 5-inch, we probably would have had 30 or 40 fish.
Yeah, but you were looking for a big one.
Yeah, I was trying to catch a 5 to 7-pounder.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Interesting question. What are the prime months for bluefin? Is there a prime month for bluefin? I mean,
what month is it? Today's April, right?
April now, yeah. So there's bluefin here now.
You know what? Right, there's been some really good bluefin fishing lately. You know, some of our boats out of Seaforth have had very, very good fishing recently. And it varies, and it's a typical bluefin. I mean,
now, you know, on, right?
Yep, for anywhere from now until January.
Yeah,
and
I mean, some of the prime months last year were May, June, I believe.
May and June last year, and then same thing, November and December were great.
Fantastic.
So it's it depends. If you want to throw some other fish into the mix, and if you're doing a day and a half or a multi-day trip, our bluefin fishing has been, it's been pretty much year round.
Yeah.
So if you want to add to that, maybe, you know, you pick a late summer 2-day, 2.5-day or something like that. And we had some very, very good fishing during that time period where we'd go out, even on day and a half trips, you go out and knock out, say, limits of yellowfin, maybe a couple yellowtail, and then you spend the afternoon trying to catch a big bluefin. That was a pretty common, a routine during the summer.
So the time of the year, you could add a mix to that bluefin.
Well, and right now it'd be Andrew.
You get kelp yellows, you know.
Andrew and Ellie are last week had decent bluefin fishing, but they had great yellowtail to go with it. And yesterday, I mean, we spent 80% of our day fishing bluefin, and then we kind of knocked the crud out of the yellowtail. So
which is really fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing more exciting than throwing a braille of bait on a kelp and everybody going bendo.
And that was, you know, like I said, after hours and hours of fishing bluefin yesterday,
right.
It was such a nice change of pace to you slide up on a kelp and you're a fresh one.
And decent sized fish, you know. That's
nice grade of fish.
Yeah, so, I missed that.
And that'd be a big part of it. You know, as far as bluefin, anywhere from, you know, 2 weeks ago on up until the end of the year, I'd say is, and a lot of it's weather pending, but if you want to, you know, incorporate some other fish into it, depending on whether it's going to be yellowfin, dorado, yellowtail, that'd be my my way to pick, you know,
your
time of year.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure.
All right. Well, hey, look who's here. It's your saltwater guide with the fishdope.com. Report, Captain Dave Hansen, right, Rory?
And the Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch. Now with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and their famous tuna burgers, along with their amazing poke kit. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And I know he's getting back online. And good morning, your saltwater guy, Dave Hansen. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike, Corey, hey. Pete. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Thanks for being here.
Mike, how cool is that to have that yellowtail? That is a blessing because we know how long those days can be in between schools of bluefin. And then to have that yellowtail, that's a blessing. That's a big deal. Mike's making it sound pretty cool. I wish I was down there catching some of that yellowtail. But, gang, Brian Woolley touched on it. Me and Pete touched on it last week. Gang, look at the fish count. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing had 830 fish caught yesterday. You can relate that right back to the anchovy. It's super cool to catch fish. We'd love to all catch 200-pound bluefin every time, except Corey and I. But everybody else would love to catch 200-pound bluefin every time. But you know what's really cool? Catching fish. And like Corey said, he's like me. Catching a crappie or catching a trout or catching a calico bass, it's just fun to catch fish. And when you throw anchovies in the mix, it changes the whole world. Guys that took that anchovy over to Catalina had epic bonita fishing. Lots and lots of bonita on the front side of Catalina, up and down the front side. It didn't really matter. Guys fishing on the coast took that anchovy on the edges of the kelp from anywhere from down in your neck of the woods, Pete, green tanks, five tanks, up to La Jolla kelp. You throw that ancho, you braille a scoop of that chovy on the edge of the kelp. Calico bass were cartwheeling out of the water in 60-degree, 61-degree water.
It
matters. That anchovy changes the whole thing.
That's what I'm talking about right there, man. You're right. That chovy just adds a whole different chemistry and a whole different cycle, and it brings in those that remember from back in the day, brown bait. You know,
add goodness.
Tom Cotton, and queenfish to the mix. Hello.
So, what do you think, Dave? Are we going to, with anchovies so prevalent, are we going to see the A word, the albacore?
Well, like Mike will tell you, and Frank, anybody that's ever fished albacore, it sure would be nice to have anchovies in the bait tank because I think it's going to be hard to get an albacore to choke down a 7-inch sardine. They kind of like to eat those anchovies. So it would be really a blessing to have some anchovies in the tank if that the fish does show up. But who knows? Like Mike said, we're in a weird cycle this last 7 years with this bluefin. So you can, like Lasley tells me all the time, throw all the books in the trash because nothing makes any sense anymore to any of us that have been doing this for more than an hour.
Yeah. It's all
you know, nothing. Well, look at last year. The wind would blow 30 knots. And we'd all go out there going, okay, it's over. We go out there, and it's the best it's ever been. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's just it's the weirdest thing. But like Gundy was saying, halibut, halibut, halibut. I don't know, Corey, but I sure do love fishing halibut on anchovies. It makes – it's a one bite. You don't have to let them eat it. They come up, scarf it down.
They'll scarf
it. So, yeah, anchovies are my buddy. Those are my pals. I'll drive a long ways to get a tank of anchovy.
Yeah. And there's nothing more fun, like you said, in the kelp line and having a private boat and picking up a scoop of anchovy and just throwing a few out there. And even if you're an artificial enthusiast, you know, to be able to throw a few here and a few there. And, you know, something I've noticed, too, Dave, is a lack of – really weird, but a lack of seals or sea lions on me in the kelp, which – yeah, seriously, I don't know. You know, maybe I jinxed myself now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
They'll stay here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're following the sport boats, Corey. That's why you're not seeing them. They're all behind the San Diego and behind the seaport.
I can tell you they're definitely at the Coronado Islands.
Sorry, Boog, but thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, fishdope.com has all the information, thanks to Dave and Mark and all the great guys that report and a lot of field reporters out there. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And Captain Dave, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, first of all, Dad's doing way better, so let everyone know. Pops is feeling really much, much better, doing good. I know he's listening right now, so there's good news on that front. And if you guys want to get a hold of me,
glad to hear that.
Get a hold of me at yoursaltwaterguide.com. We'll teach you how to fish with those anchovies because here's what I see every time a guy pulls up to the bait barge on his private boat and sees anchovies in there. The first thing he does is sit down on the gunwale and start sucking his thumb because he doesn't know how he's going to cast them. Guys, anchovies are the thing. You can, like Corey said, throw a handful of chovy in the water and then throw your MC swim bait right after that and watch. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Dave. Appreciate that report, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right, guys. Talk to you next Sunday. Bye.
All right. Appreciate that. Phones are packed. Let's jump into it, Corey.
Captain Dave, get me all fired up.
Let's
talk to John. John from San Diego. Thanks for joining us this morning, John.
Good morning, guys. I wanted to ask Captain Mike what he prefers in terms of length of top shots for his passengers, and if that length varies from, for instance, a 25-pound line size to an 80-pound line size.
That's a good question.
You know, and a lot of it depends on what you're fishing, conditions that you're fishing in, wind, size of bait, and everything else. For most cases, especially if you're fishing with a big group of guys, you want to have enough of a top shot to where you're going to be able to cut it a few times. Whether it's fish, fish chewing up your line or tangle, I'd say in most cases, I'd say somewhere around 20 yards. If you're fishing a small boat by yourself, I mean, I get down to the where you're fishing just a few feet of it, enough to matter. Fly lining, especially now that we're talking about anchovies, which all kinds of fond memories, and most of it didn't involve Spectra, but trying to fly line a small bait like that, you want as little drag on it as possible. And, you know, it's just the small diameter of fishing Spectra and a little teeny leader. You know, you color hook an anchovy, you whip it out there, and you see it swim through the water with no problem, as opposed to, you know, try fly lining an anchovy on straight 25-pound, where after a while, it's really a lot of work for that thing to swim that, you know, to swim the line around, and it's dragging it backwards. So I love fishing a small top shot, as small as possible, usually, whether it's fishing bass or anything else. But on an open party boat, when you're fishing with a group of guys, I'd say enough to where you have you can cut a good 10, 15 feet off after, you know, throughout the day before you have to change out your top shot. If you get a fish that swallows it or whatever, you don't want to have to come up and, you cut your hook off and have to put on a new top shot. You want to give yourself a little bit of room. That being said, like I said, it depends on weather conditions, bait size, and everything else. Like we were talking about earlier, the innovation of Spectra has changed everything. And, you know, if we do start seeing a lot more anchovy, you're going to realize how nice it is to fly line 30-pound Spectra instead of 30-pound mono.
Mono, yeah, no question. Yeah. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. And this text from Ken in Chula Vista wants to give a shout-out to Vince over at Fisherman's Landing Tackle. He just helped me spend $441. Got a new Graftec rod, Shimano rig, flat fall, Nomad Minnow, Olakai flip-flops, all on sale. So, yeah.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, that is. And that sale's going on still at Fisherman's Landing through at least 6 o'clock
through
tonight.
The day, and that's what Doug was saying yesterday. Yeah. At 6 o'clock, I think they close maybe at 7, possibly, but it's whenever the last chance. So that closing time is variable. I get down there ASAP.
Yeah, for real. Indeed. Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phone.
Let's do it. How about Don? Don from Woodland Hills. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Don.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, Pete, a comment and then a question for Mike. With all the dialogue here about, you know, the bluefin tuna getting bigger each year, might be a good idea to get Dr. Barbara Block back on, just kind of see what her research has been showing over the last couple of years.
That's a good idea.
And then, Mike, you know, with a, it's really great hearing about, you know, some of the older boats and the passion that Bill Poole had, you know, building them and the succession of boats that he produced. What kind of maintenance do you have to do on a 2-inch plank hull?
You know, it's funny because the planks themselves will probably last the test of time. A lot of it is fasteners. We do fastener inspections. Coast Guard requires it also. Every few years, but especially with mahogany planks, actually any wood soaked in salt water, I mean, it's basically preserved forever. The biggest issue that you might find is using fresh water on a boat. You start getting dry rot. We only use fresh water to rinse our windows and rinse our rods and reels off. Everything else is salt water. That's something between Sal, he's one of our woodworkers, Steve Russo, one of their biggest things when they start talking about wood boats, especially plywood boats, is no fresh water. I mean, fresh water and wood do not do well together. Salt water,
right?
Yeah, I mean, as long as that thing stays in salt water, it's good forever. I mean, you look at some of these boats, old boats built in the 1800s. I know the Estrella up in Oxnard was decommissioned years ago. And I don't think that's so much because of the wood planking. It's as long as you stay on top of your fasteners and your maintenance, you should be good to go. Saltwater and whether it's silicone, bronze, any kind of metal in the water, you're going to have a little bit of electrolysis. So we go through our fasteners and change them out every few years. We do checks with the Coast Guard where you might have to pull a few fasteners, and as long as they look good, you know, you keep going. But we redid our complete bow. Was it 4 years ago? And even just this year, we had Sal, our woodworker, come down and beef up our bow. He sistered up some of the frames. I think we had like 400 pounds of new mahogany into our four-peak, which is pretty
crazy.
Yeah,
icebreaker. Like gold.
Bow. Oh, yeah. Man, and it is. And having some of these woodworkers, these shipwrights that are slowly retiring and going away, it's going to be a lost art.
It's an art, yeah. And Saul's like one of the best.
Oh, man, he gets
down there. He's an amazing guy.
Yeah, yeah. He always wants to talk about Italy and how boats were made back there. But I think I've been working with Sal for 25 years, maybe.
Wow.
And he calls me Mark. He's never got my name right. I use him every year, but
he's got the right work going. Call me whatever you want.
Yeah. But just taking care of it. No fresh water and staying on top of your zincs, your maintenance, your fasteners is key for taking care of these boats. You look at Booger, who has basically the same hole, same boat, and it's if you're not doing maintenance on them, then there's something wrong.
Yeah,
they're great boats.
Yeah. All right, hey, you're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer, a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all five species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com. Katmai.com.
It's a fact. Shimano produces some of the finest fishing reels for our Southern California sport fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. We have a complete selection of Shimano saltwater reels like Talica, Speedmaster, Trinidad, Torium, and Tranx reels. Plus, we have all the best Shimano lures like Flatfall, Cold Sniper, and Orca. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano product for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will maximize your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day, full-day, and open party trips. Book online at fisherman'slanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you, or learn more at AFCO.com.
Hi, this is Scott Sherman for Snap Insurance. I'm back from City Hall and ready to help you with all your insurance needs. I can provide you with the best in boat insurance at the lowest rates. But there's more to a policy than just a low rate. I know the coverage you need and will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Work with us to wrap your home, auto, and boat policy to save even more money. We can also help you with your commercial or business insurance. Call me, Scott Sherman, at Snap Insurance, 619-908-3100 or snapins.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charter is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. Check out islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 1 1/2 to 5-day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We got Mike in studio, and lines are full, but you can give us a shout, 213-432-1090. That's your chance to win a day and a half trip on the Tribute.
Anything now through June. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for that, Mike. Hey, a text from Brandon in San Pedro. First-time texter, and he just downloaded the app. And when he's away from the radio, he loves the app. So question is, I know you guys mentioned that bluefin are getting bigger and bigger. With that being said, does the Tribute provide heavier gear if you don't have the necessary gear to land those 300- and 400-pound tuna?
Well, hopefully if you're getting a 300- or 400-pounder, it's coming on the kite. Yes, we do provide our kite gear.
Yeah.
I have a very good selection of heavy gear, all 50 wides, fishing straight 200- to 300-pound gear. Our landing does have a very good array of rental gear as well.
Yes. So if two-speed gear. And
if you're undergun, depending on what you have, you want to give the landing a call. And I got to say, our landing does a very good job servicing our rental gear. Yeah. I mean, it's
and I believe they have like a package too, like a long, like a multi-day big tuna package where you just get like the proper rods and reels.
Yes, and it's been built in the same kind of deal. We were slightly caught off guard when this big bluefin started biting years ago, and our heaviest gear was the 60-pound setup.
Yeah,
that's no longer the case. So yeah, you can get heavy two-speed packages,
Like Shimano Talikas, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's well serviced, always fresh line, Spectre backing on them. So depending on how heavy a rig you're looking for, but if you're fishing the kite, yes, we do have gear that is. We'll let you use your gear if it's appropriate, but we figure if you're on the kite, then we're going to be supplying the gear for you.
There you go. All right. Very good. Let's jump in the phones.
Let's talk to Tom. Tom Cohn from Temecula this morning. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Great show. Great boat, Mike. Fished it several times every year, I think. And anyway, I have a couple questions. First one is, provided, we end up having a lot of anchovies, how would the bluefin react to it? And I know it'd be a different scenario completely. Would that also drive people to using more flat balls and jigs? And then my second question is, if you had your choice of schools to stop on, what size of bluefin would you really want to stop on?
Good question.
You know what? I'm still a big fan of the 30- to 60-pound bluefin. I think are probably among my favorites. They're plenty big enough to pull on. They're you get a limit of 50-pound bluefin. That's still plenty of meat to take home. They don't absolutely ruin you like some of these bigger ones do. Your hook land ratio is much, much better. The big ones are great, and we've had some very, very good bluefin fishing over the years. Even on some of the bigger ones, I remember, I guess it was a couple years ago in November, right around Thanksgiving, we're fishing the 60 on the anchor, and we just knocking the crud out of the 60 to 120 pounders, which was fun. But it depends. I mean, if you have the appropriate tackle, fish up to about 100 pounds are fun. Fish over 100 pounds, I think, like Corey was talking about.
Work.
It becomes such, like, that fish that we hooked yesterday was probably just over 200 pounds. We had, I think, five different people pull on a kite rod with 200 pound. And
what happened? We pulled the hook?
We pulled the hook, probably about 50 feet from the boat.
Oh,
it was a nice fish. But you see the frustration on somebody's face in low gear when that rod's loaded up. There's 30 pounds of drag on it, and you can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's, you know, borderline getting the rod jerked out of your hand.
It's pretty hard to break 200-pound test.
When as long as I fish long range, and back then, you know, fishing 100-pound was heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and even then, you'd be running up to the bow of somebody's rod, and they'd have 24 pounds of drag on it or something, and all of a sudden you're like, this thing might actually get ripped out of my hands. Now you're talking about a different league where you're fishing over 30 pounds of drag, and that thing starts running, and you're like, it's like hanging onto an anchor rope as the boat's driving away.
Yeah, crazy. Hang on.
So that, I still prefer a little bit smaller grade fish. It's fun for the masses kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, they're catchable. You know, there's usually more fish in a school. They get fired and charged up.
We're fishing, you know, a good load on our boat. Yeah, our limited, you know, we're fishing with 30 people, 32 people. And I want to see everybody catch some fish. Everybody go home with a fish. Catching one 200-pounder is awesome for that one guy. But getting on a school of that mid-grade bluefin and, you know, having them boil up and looking up the side and you got 15 or 20 of them going, that for me is what I want to do.
And like, for example, yesterday you had that great yellowtail fishing, and I bet you saw a lot of smiles on the faces.
Oh, yeah. No, a complete game changer.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing where you look up the side and every rod up the side of the boat's bit and there's fish flying over the side, people yelling for gaff full speed. That is what my boat's basically built around is, you know, you're fishing with groups of people, and I really like the one-day trips as we get rolling into the summer, and, you know, yellowfin tuna fishing, Dorado, yellowtail,
Nothing better, right?
Hopefully some albacore. Yeah. It's going to happen again
someday.
You never
know. Yeah.
But that, you know, where everybody goes home with some fish, everybody's happy, everybody gets to pull on a fish. These big bluefin are great, and we do plenty of trips where that's all we do. But in general, I'd like to see everybody go home with some fish.
That's what
happened yesterday, which is awesome.
I'll say this. There's nothing better eating than a nice chunk of bluefin. You know, I mean, it is.
Especially like we were talking about, straight out of the RSW. Taken care of.
Seared, or with the fisherman's processing poke kit. I can think about three ways right now.
It's all good.
Yellow.
Pokies.
What was your first question, Tom?
Anchovies.
Oh, the anchovies. Okay, we got
anchovies.
That.
Anchovies and bluefin, I think with the innovation of a lot of these jigs is going to be a huge game changer.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I never got to fish real big bluefin with anchovies because, it was pretty much, I think that was, a mid-80s deal?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I wasn't down here then, but trying to fly line even a big anchovy and try to catch a, you know, 150-pound bluefin on it is something I don't want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I'm trying to visualize that challenge, and it's a challenge. Oh. I mean, that's trying to heavy string with a 5-inch anchovy just isn't an easy deal. You know?
Even back in the 90s, like when we were, you know, you'd have to fly line one on 25-pound, you'd hook a 40-pound bluefin, and that is like pulling on a 150-pounder now.
Yeah.
It's just...
But I'll say this. I'll guarantee you that Shimano, Dave Pfeiffer, came up with that Colt Sniper.
Yeah.
Okay. Just for this occasion that we haven't seen in more than 10 or 12 years. You know, that Colt Sniper was made.
Change everything.
It's gonna. Trust me.
The Colt Sniper does get bit, too. And those big bluefin will eat the heck out of those anchovies, and they're great to have as chum. But, yeah, I think the last thing you want to do is slide on a spot of 150-pounders, and you go up and you pin that anchovy on, collar hook it on a number 4 hook, and 25-pound is not something that I don't want to see.
Yeah, it's not conducive.
All right. I do love seeing the anchovies, though.
Yeah, we do. Tom, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's jump back in.
Let's talk to Tim. Tim Combe from Long Beach. Thanks for joining us this morning on Let's Talk Hookup, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. But anyways, before I get to my question, I got to tell you, thank God for rain gear when it comes to Humboldt squid, because, man, those things really blast the heck out of you.
Yeah.
Face shield.
But with so many different hook options out there, when it comes to bluefin, what kind of assortment do you want to see come on the boat?
You know what, with a lot of the circ hooks now, J-hooks, some people still are big fans of them, and if you fish them right, you can usually get them to stick in the corner of the mouth. But my go-to, and there's great hooks by every maker, whether it's Kamigatsu owner, Mustad, They have, you know, some of the circle hooks now, especially with smaller baits, are strong enough to where you can fish a light enough hook to where the bait can still swim it. But any of those small circle hooks, with some of the bigger fish lately, some of the triple X strong, the quad strong, or something you want to have in your assortment. You know, if you're fishing 100 pound and you have a little bit smaller bait, but those big bluefin are willing to eat it, some of the triple X and the quad X hooks are something you want to have in your arsenal, just because they will occasionally break and they will occasionally straighten out depending on what kind of hook you're fishing. But circle hooks, at least in my opinion, with that bluefin is a must.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Pardon me?
Oh, I was going to ask, what about size range?
Same deal. Depending on the brand of hook, anywhere from probably a number 2 right now on up to like a 2-aught is something you want to have for most of the sardines. But you do want to have some bigger ones just in case, you know, there's mackerel in the tank, or hopefully we see it again, you know, some squid mixed in. But bring hooks on up to like probably a 5-aught for your general assortment. So anywhere from like a 2 or we're talking for a bluefin, but me in general, I bring hook size anywhere from 4 on up to a 5-aught on these trips, just so you're covering all your bases.
Cool. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. A nice text from Brian Wilson in San Clemente. I guess he's off the Beach Boys and now he's fishing, right?
Exactly.
He wants to know what knots you use for Spectra to fluorocarbon. Do you use the RP knot, the Tony Pena knot? And what's the heaviest line size for an application when you join those?
Actually both RP and the Tony Pena are big fans of mine.
You like them both. Yeah.
Yeah, it just depends on how much of a hurry you're in and what size line you're tying. But once you start getting up anywhere over 100 pound, it starts becoming an issue just going through your rollers or your rod tip. So that's when you start looking into doing a different splice or a crimp connection. I've done it up to 130 pound, and it just depends. I mean, it ends up being a rather large knot, and if it goes through your guides properly, it still works. But, you know, anything above 130 pound, you're looking at, you know, doing either a leader with a swivel connection or some kind of a crimp or a splice.
Yeah, and Kaylee in Chula Vista had the same question there, and it's a newbie fisherman, so 80. Spectra to mono 80, the RP knot. I like the RP knot.
Yeah, it's still fine.
Or the John Collins knot, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. at 80 pound, it's usually fine. It's just, like I said, especially a lot of the roller guys have gotten bigger and bigger and to accommodate a lot of what we're doing. But there's nothing worse than going to cast or something and realizing that your connection doesn't go through your tip.
And an RP knot's so easy. It really is. So I mean, I use it exclusively, really, whether I'm El Salto or inshore here.
And yeah.
Is it the YouTube channel? How does Kaylee find that?
Let's Talk Hookup YouTube channel. We have John Collins tying
the man.
John, showing you how to tie the John Collins knot.
It's
super easy.
It's smaller diameter connections, too.
Yeah. So what about to the hook? What do you use?
Oh, man, I'm still pretty old-fashioned with the San Diego.
San Diego.
Double San Diego if you're really trying to get your 100% or close to it. There's a couple different connections. But
there's another Springer knot. Do you like the Springer knot? I mean, I know we have that on our YouTube channel, too, tied by John
Springer.
That's
knot?
A really low-profile knot. It's 2 through the eye, very small knot.
I'm a San Diego knot guy, too.
I grew up with that.
It's so easy to tie.
I grew up with it.
And the good thing about the San Diego knot is it's hard to make a mistake with it, right?
If you look at it and
it looks right, it's right.
The same thing with a double San Diego. As long as those two legs aren't crossed at the bottom, you're good to go. And it is really easy.
Like the trilene knot, sometimes you can really mess that up. It's a great knot, but if you get those things crossed,
no, it's the same thing with a Palomar. I mean, if you want to show somebody a quick, easy way to tie a knot, but if those two legs are crossed in the eye of the hook,
you're done.
You're looking at a 60% knot, not a 90%
and
knot.
And you won't know until you put pressure on it with a fish.
Yeah, you got to really cinch it down to find out if it's going to roll over or not.
Yeah. Let's jump back on the phone.
Let's do it. Chuck from Dana Point. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup. Chuck, good morning.
Hey, you guys. Hey, good morning. You got me frothing at the mouth, man. Back in the albacore days with the anchovies, we used to use beak hooks, and that was before circle hooks and stuff. But I hardly ever see a need for a J-hook anymore with these bluefin and stuff like that. But, you know, here's a problem I see coming up. Your fish hold. What happens if you get a 400-pounder? Will it fit in that thing through the opening? You're going to have to get
so
a bigger
So far,
opening.
We haven't maxed it out. When I redid my fish hold, was it 4 years ago? We didn't think we were going to catch 400-pounders, but our big fish last year was 313, and it went in with no problem.
In. Yeah.
I know some of the smaller boats have started carrying fish bags and even having to cut their fish up to put them in it. And we have a 16-ton fish hold. We have a really big fish hold, but as far as hopefully we don't have to make our entrances bigger. I don't want to start seeing 400-pounders.
Yeah. It could happen this year, though. That fish has been growing up.
It's gonna, yeah, but if those start biting in numbers, I think a lot of boats are going to have to change things around.
Watch out.
Once they're in the fish hold, it's fine. It's getting them back out of the fish hold.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 300-pounders are, you know, you get two or three guys on them, and it's not the worst thing. But we start seeing bluefin around 500 pounds, we're going to start putting cranes on our boat.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Chuck. A quick text here about the tribute features. Do you have food options, showers on board? Can they reserve a bump? And that's from Cliff in Blossom Valley. All those kind of little features are nice to know.
Yes, on all of them. Same cook for years here, Daniel Wharf, does a great job. He also has his own catering business. Meals, like on this last trip, you can do a meal package. They're now $45 to $50 for a day and a half trip.
Isn't a bad deal.
Well,
that's
no,
all your meals.
And you got to think about what's going on with our economy and how expensive everything
expensive
is getting.
Food so is
$50 on a day and a half trip covers your breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, reserves. Breakfast could be a lot of people just, you know, get on a boat and the first thing they want is a breakfast burrito. So that it's an option. You can do it anywhere from that to a breakfast plate. Our mid-morning snack yesterday was a breakfast cake and cantaloupe and honeydew melon.
Oh, nice.
Lunch could be the same thing. 90% of your guys that come out on an overnight to two-day trip want a boat burger. So I think we did 30 burgers yesterday, maybe a couple of sandwiches with it. Afternoon snack was like a Mexican platter with taquitos and stuff.
Oh.
And then dinner last night was tri-tip, sides and desserts. So it's well put together.
So you can reserve a bunk and you do have showers.
You can call and reserve a bunk in advance.
And then do you need to bring your own sleeping bag pillow?
We do have pillows on the boat. We do go through and fog. We use a commercial grade fogger in between every trip. A hospital grade disinfectant. We have vinyl covers on our pillows. We spray everything. So all you need to do is bring a pillowcase and a sleeping bag or blanket.
Oh, that's simple enough.
Yeah. So I know a lot of guys got rid of their pillows, but we still have them. And then, you can call and reserve your bunk. And showers, yes, we do have full and closed showers inside of our heads.
Very nice.
Sweet. All right, good times. We're going to be right back. It's Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and a Mightier 1090.
Rock Cod Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Kevin Kelly and the crew at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery. A 2520 XLD pilot house with a $25,000 discount, a 2510 walk around with a $23,000 discount, and a 2320 pilot house with a $15,000 discount, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Turner Outdoors Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limit, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Fun 2 hours with...
Wow, Mike.
Yeah, I know. It's so cool.
Yeah.
One lucky winner, though. One lucky winner is Darren. Darren from Menifee. He's got his opportunity to ride a day-and-a-half trip on the Tribute through the month of June.
Yeah, and we'll make sure we get you connected with Marcos over at C4 Sport Fishing, and Marcos will set you up on that trip. And, boy, Mike, what's the schedule for the Tribute here coming up?
Right now we have a day-and-a-half schedule printed through the end of July. We do have one-day trips departing Thursday night to fill in the gap there. And there, it looks like there's going to be some pretty good fishing here in one-day range very shortly. A really nice great yellowtail, great of bluefin when they decide to cooperate. But I would start looking for that stuff to push a little bit closer and start seeing some better numbers. Hopefully our weather straightens itself out. It's been quite the roller coaster here lately.
Yeah.
But now, whether it's going to be myself or Captain Buzz Brizendine or Tyler Fries running the boat, great, you know, still a great group of guys, crew-wise, come on out, jump on one of these day-and-a-half trips, and we're Friday nights ago, and I do have to say that we have picked up just an awesome sponsor here lately with local company Pete Support, who's going to be doing lots of trips with us, supplying some pizza on the departure night.
Oh, nice.
As well as some kickdown, some good beer deals throughout the trip.
Oh,
so
wow. How cool is that?
We are going to be making a Friday night's trip, which I think is full or close to it. There might be a few spots left, but
yeah.
Friday night's trip is a go. It's going to be sponsored by Pete Support. You can book 619-224-3383, seaforthlanding.com, of course, tributesportfishing.com, and take a look at our Facebook and Instagram pages, too.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Mike, it was a great show, and a lot of great questions from our listeners and a lot of great texts from our listeners, and been great to have you this week, Corey. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Great to have you.
I'm always thankful for the opportunity.
Yeah, and we're thankful that you're able to come and join us here, and we look forward to get some bass fishing in
here. We'll call it good times.
Yeah, good times, for sure. All right, Mike, thanks again for coming in, and thanks for the day-and-a-half trip. And thank you out there. Thanks to Andrew for manning the phones and manning the board, and thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Next Saturday, Captain Mark Wish from Pacific Edge will be here. We'll be talking sea bass, yellowtail, bait tanks, and more with Captain Mark, our private boater buddy there. And then next Sunday, Captain Ryan Bostian from the San Diego, Mr. Yellowtail himself, will be here to give the inside scoop on that Coronado Islands yellowtail. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next weekend right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.